We're messing with the schedule. People have their routines, yet we've got a good reason why we're up and running on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Explain it to the people, John, what we're doing today on a Thursday as we release this.
Well, normally we go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you can download it on YouTube and all the podcast platforms there and hit subscribe or like anytime you want. But Jim Rutherford was available to us today, and our plan originally was to wait for it and release it as we normally do on Friday morning. But I just feel there's enough news and enough current stuff, including the latest on Tyler Myers from Rutherford, that tells us that we should be releasing the show a little early. And it, to me, it just makes sense because who knows, Tyler might be traded by Friday morning, and that would be wrong. And I also think that what Jimmy said was current enough with the Canucks not playing until Saturday that people can take an extra day and digest what he talked about and what their approach is in Vancouver.
Before we get to the Rutherford conversation, Joel Quenneville hits the 1,000 win mark, just the second National League coach to hit that milestone.
There is some irony, I think, not just coincidence, some irony that it's he and Scotty Bowman that are the only guys to get to 1,000. Scotty was a consultant in Chicago for a long period of time with Joel, and quite frankly, I think there were times where they didn't get along. So that to me is a little side story to Joel getting it. The other part of it was how he got to 1,000 victories in last night's game with an unbelievable third period by his hockey club against the Edmonton Oilers. And what amazed me was in the short period of time, the reaction of Joel and his family and the players in Anaheim to the victory. That to me spoke volumes to what Joel has done for that organization in such a short period of time. And now the wisdom of Pat Verbeek to get Joel behind the bench. And, you know, people should be taking notice. A lot of people have taking notice of what that young team in Anaheim can do and how they will fight their way to the Stanley Cup playoffs as well.
Nobody likes winning more than Joel Quenneville. A lot of people hate losing, but I've never seen anybody embrace and enjoy a victory more than Joel Quenneville.
And that part to me last night was the smile on his face. We've all seen Joel behind a bench when he's angry. We've all seen Joel with some of his rather off-color gestures at times. And his passion, but to see that smile on the face of Joel last night was to me was an amazing story, and to think at a certain point in the last 4 years, I think we wondered if Joel would ever be given a chance to get to 1,000 victories. You know, let's face it, he was suspended, and it took a long time for him to understand what he had to do in order to get reinstated, and for then the commissioner to decide to reinstate him. And so this is a tumultuous time in the game of hockey in so many ways, Darren. This is a pretty good feel-good story for Quenneville and for the Ducks to enjoy as this team is now coming into its own.
Los Angeles, Edmonton, Toronto, three teams that were hoping that they would have fresh, positive starts coming out of the Olympic break, and it didn't happen. That was something that they were hoping to quiet and get off to a running start. I wonder how long it'll take for the noise to really take over again.
Well, in Toronto, it's already taken over. Let's face it; it's combined with the team not playing well. It's combined with a letter that the CEO, Keith Pelley, sent to season seat holders about renewals. I think people came out of the Olympic break trying to buy time, buy two or three extra days. And the inevitability of it is your team isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. And you should face facts. And between now and March the 6th, do some dealing and try to figure out exactly what you have to do in order to try to become relevant again sooner than later.
All three of those teams are on a back-to-back, so they do have an opportunity to right the wrong. Although Edmonton and LA play each other, so only one
three,
of those teams.
Three and four days is always difficult for teams. And, you know, sooner than later, we're going to be talking about not just the trade deadline. We're going to be talking about an absolutely horrifically difficult schedule. You know, teams basically are playing every second day for 50 days. That's the way it works. Either 26 and 51, as some teams are doing, or 25 and 50, or it's going to be difficult for teams to try to create any level of momentum. And it's also going to be difficult to make up distances if you're not consistently winning all the time.
Who can you be more positive about, Toronto or Edmonton?
No, I don't think you can be positive about either of them right now. Edmonton at least
more
is in
positive
the play-
about.
Edmonton is at least in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Edmonton's
yeah.
at least in the playoffs. And I would tell you right now, I firmly believe that you will see, and I think we've already started to see the fire in the eyes of both Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, that they will their way to the playoffs. But what's happened now in Edmonton, very quickly is, a question about goaltending again, you know, and the heat is now on Tristan Jarry to get back to a level that, you know, he cannot play the way he played last night in Anaheim and to expect this team to have any level of success in the postseason.
I'm not saying, or asking this question as it revolves around Edmonton or any team in particular. But with 25 games to go, or less, do you think any team would consider a coaching change to try and spur them into the playoffs and hope that little coaching bump is enough to get you into the postseason?
I think that managers may not, but owners might.
Hmm.
And so that might be a debate that some teams are going to have. Let's remember, we have been witness to it in the history of the game. You know, Lou Lamoriello did it with 10 games to go.
Was it that? I thought it was less than that.
I think it was 10. And Cliff Fletcher did it once in Atlanta, firing Fred Creighton late in a season to get his team into the postseason. So these are
it's just so close right now. Maybe a little bump might make the difference to getting in.
Well, and then it goes in and speaks to the pressure that ownership, that the fan base puts on hockey operations to get to the playoffs. We've got to be in the playoffs. There's no discussion. We have to be in the playoffs. That's the one thing I think that people in Vancouver can literally sit back and say, well, we don't have to worry about that. We have to worry about the future, but we don't have to worry about where we are in the playoffs because the club has already said they're not going to make the playoffs.
Turn our page towards the Vancouver Canucks and focus on what's happening in the Lower Mainland. Jim Rutherford, the president of hockey operations.
I like how you did that Lower Mainland thing. That was good. I like how you did the Lower Mainland thing.
It's one of my catchphrases. Yeah. I don't know where I picked up on that.
You and somebody else.
Buddy Ron McLean. And you and I have had a long-running theme of Lower Mainland references. But there's a lot in this discussion with Jim Rutherford. Sit back and enjoy and maybe take some notes if you're a fellow media member with the news coming out of this discussion. It's Jim Rutherford on 100% Hockey with Billard and Shannon coming up next.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Always have fun when the president of hockey operations from the Vancouver Canucks joins us. And it's even more timely given what's going on and the lead up to the National Hockey League trade deadline. First up, how you doing, Jimmy?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not sure the word fun would be in Jim's vocabulary these days. So
Yeah, probably not. We've had our challenges, but I look at challenges as opportunities, and hopefully that's what it turns into.
So as we record this on Thursday, Tyler Myers did not dress last night. Does that mean he's played his last game as a Vancouver Canuck?
Well, we do have an offer for him. We're working through that process now, and we'll see where it goes. Nothing's final at this point. So it was just being cautious last night. You don't want a player to play in a game and get injured when potentially something might happen.
Is working through it Tyler's side of it with the full new move, or the negotiating between you and the other hockey club?
It's a little bit of everything. Yeah, it's just the process. I mean, Patrick's the one that's doing this. I got an update earlier this morning, and everybody's trying to work together to see if something works.
All joking aside, Jim, how would you define what this season has been for you personally?
Well, it doesn't matter about me personally. I mean, I work for the Canucks. It's about what works for the Canucks, and it's been about as disappointing as a season could be. But I'm not a guy that likes to make excuses, but I'll just go through a few things. We started off knowing coming out of camp that we needed to be stronger at center ice and get a number two center, and we couldn't do that until we ultimately traded our best player. We've dealt with a ton of injuries, which most teams have, and then we got to the point that we knew that Quinn wasn't going to return. And once that happened, then we were going down a totally different path. We made that deal. I believe we made it at the right time. If we waited till the off season, we would not have got the same return. We'd have been backed in a corner. And at that point, it was time to officially go to a rebuild.
If I had told you you were in this position at the start of the year, what would your reaction have been?
Well, I'm a pretty positive guy, so I would have said no chance. I did know at the start of the year that there was a good possibility that Quinn would end up being moved, knowing what his thinking has been here over the last year or two. So that part was not a surprise, but certainly to where we are today and not being able to win games and just getting across that finish line, playing pretty hard, being in a lot of games, but at the end of the day, you have to figure out how to win them, and we haven't been able to do that.
So if you're a Canuck fan, what would you tell them that the next 2 or 3 months are going to look like between now and say the draft?
Well, I think it starts here with the next week, and I can give you that answer a lot better after we get past the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But we're going to acquire as many young assets as possible, and that's probably more in line with being draft picks. Position ourselves as strong as we can going into the draft and going into the offseason of free agency. And continue to let the young players play, live with them adjusting to a very tough league. I think that the young guys we have now are doing a really good job, especially young defensemen that are playing as much as they are and doing as well as they are, and they'll just get better and better. And we'll look forward to the draft and to free agency to see the changes that need to be made so we can start to progress in the right direction next year and build this team up over the next couple of years.
You're sitting working through a trade right now, but how active do you think you will be over the next week and a half?
We'll be as active as possible if in fact something makes sense for our return. You know, we're not out looking to just give away players. I don't know how many younger players mid-20s, the younger, that are going to be available that we could acquire. But we're going to look at all possibilities, you know, sticking to that plan of staying younger, getting a group together that can come together over the next couple of years as a team and start to get in a position that we should be in. And, but at this point in time, the market is very slow. And Patrick does the deals, he talks to the GMs, but talking to a couple of other people that hold the same position as me, they are surprised too that how slow the market's moving. So it may end up that it's a slower deadline because of some of the rule changes and how teams have to approach things going forward for the playoffs. Or maybe it's just going to, you know, open up here next week, getting closer to the deadline.
Was there lots of talk during the Olympic break?
I wouldn't say a lot of talk.
That surprised you? It does me.
It's hard to say because half the general managers were at the Olympics and they were part of their country's teams. So I'm sure they were having lots of conversations as to what they might do together. But the GMs that weren't at the Olympics, I don't think that there was as much conversation.
How short is the list of players you won't take calls on?
Well, there are some. I won't get into them. I don't want to suggest that all our players are available because they're not. But I would say the list is relatively short.
On that, do you think you need to give an endorsement to Elias Pettersson, who had a pretty good Olympics, but do you need to say that this guy is our cornerstone?
No, I don't think I need to say that at this point. He has played better than given credit for this year with the Canucks. I think he's worked very hard at his two-way game. A guy in his position, we'd like to see do more on the offensive side. But to his credit, he's worked at it. And it's, you know, if somebody made just a great offer, we'd have to look at it. But it's not a guy that we feel that we have to get out there and shop. He's a young guy. His offense can still come back. I think it will. He's a very skilled guy. So we'll see where that goes.
Was it the performance at the Olympics that gives you confidence in that or before that?
No, the whole season. Mm-hmm. You know, he did what the coach asked him to do in the off season. He worked hard. He got stronger. I don't know if maybe he can train a little different way. Our people are looking at that for the next off season. But it's like I said a little bit earlier, it's his two-way play. He plays against the top guys, the McDavids and the McKinnons, and when we play those games, and he does a pretty good job against them. So he does things that don't show up on the scoreboard from goals and assists, and that's a good thing that he's worked on that 200-foot game. Ultimately, when this team gets ready to contend, you need that kind of player.
It feels like ancient history now, but how difficult was it to get rid of Kiefer Sherwood?
It was really difficult. I mean, I like him about as much as I've liked any player personally. And he had a really good year last year and again this year. But it got to the point where, based on what the agent was looking to get for him, we did not feel comfortable with that, but that was hard to let that guy go because he loved the Canucks. He loved Vancouver. He came to play every night. He practiced hard. He was scoring goals, more goals than anybody expected him to. And, but we weren't going to lose him for nothing. And I think we got a good return for him.
On that topic, you talk about guys loving Vancouver. Do you get a real sense of your team that still are really appreciative of playing in one of the most passionate hockey markets in the league?
And,
I mean, that's the reason I'm bringing it up is Tyler Myers is one of those guys that loves playing in Vancouver. Loves it. You know, lives in the interior in the off season. That must be a difficult scenario to go through.
Well, it is, but Tyler Myers is not in his early 20s anymore.
That's okay? Right.
Yeah. And he is a terrific guy, you know, and he's a good team guy and all those things. So, yeah, I mean, none of these are easy. You can always find reasons why we should not be moving players. But there's also reasons why we are. And so, you know, just like Kiefer, this is not an easy one.
You talked about the market being a little slow right now and some of the new rules that came into place. Is that you're referring to being able to share salary or take on salary by other clubs?
Yep, that's one. And then, of mm-hmm. course, the cap in the playoffs.
Right.
And so where you have some teams in the past maybe looking at adding two or three players because they can juggle the cap until they get to the playoffs where there was no cap, they may only be looking at getting one player now because it's going to be harder to fit more players into their lineup. Depending on how much they're making. So those two things are going to change the dynamic for sure.
Take a break. We'll come back more with the president of hockey operations from the Vancouver Canucks, Jim Rutherford, on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Car shopping should be exciting, not exhausting. That's where Car Gurus comes in. They have advanced search tools, unbiased deal ratings, and price history, so you know a great deal when you see one. It's no wonder that Car Gurus is the number one rated car shopping app in Canada. When you're car shopping on your phone, it shouldn't be a maze. You need to see all the information. With the Car Gurus app, you can. Powerful search tools that you see deal ratings, price history, and dealer reviews on listings all in one place. And you can turn on real-time price drop alerts so you never miss a great deal. Car Gurus connects you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent, hassle-free buying process. Buy your next car today at cargurus.ca. Make sure your deal is the best deal. That's cargurus.ca. Cargurus.ca.
I can always see John's lip quivering a little bit when he's got something on his mind and I go to break and he's like, don't go to break. This time he stops. So John, take it away.
No, we could sit here and go through every guy in the roster and Jim will have a logical explanation. I actually wanted to talk about Sidney Crosby because you know Sill as well as anybody, Jim. And in watching what happened at the Olympics, and we will get back to the Canucks, but in watching the Olympics, you would know the heartbreak that Sid had not being able to play in a couple of those games, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, everything he does, he's committed 100% to and to the people around him. And that was a big setback for him. It was a big setback for his teammates and for Canada. Because he thrives in those situations, even when he's not scoring or putting up assists, you know, he's helping other players, he's settling things down, he's so positive, and he leads by example. So that was clearly a setback for Team Canada.
Would you reach out to him at all?
I have not. Him and no. I spent some time together when we had the Cup reunion in Pittsburgh, but... he's got enough things on his mind than to take some time to talk to me right now.
I tell you what, that was an emotional night when you probably noticed it too, the tear trunk going down his cheek as he was watching that video at center ice.
Yeah, yeah. When I was going off the ice, he came over and said something to me also. You know, he's a guy that cares so much about things. And probably like all of us, when we do things, you just keep going and going and you don't think about it as much. And then when you have a ceremony like that, it all hits you. And I think that's what happened to Sid. and just recognized, you know, what a great run that was in 16. And then, of course, in 17, that'll be celebrated again next year. So he's a very passionate guy about everything he does.
Can you tell us what he said or paraphrase what he said to you?
No.
With an injury like that to Sid, Mikko Rantanen out 2 to 3 weeks, Kevin Fiala out for the rest of the season, has it changed your thought process about whether NHL players should be at the Olympics, or is there enough positives, even with the injuries, that things should be the same in 2030?
Well, there's enough positives. It was a phenomenal Olympics. I give credit to every NHL player that played for their country. I mean, all those smaller countries represented themselves very well. And then we get to the ultimate game, the gold medal game, and that was certainly one of the greatest hockey games, in the top three or four greatest hockey games of all time. And a real credit to both countries and all the players. So you can make a case, certainly, that we shouldn't do that because of the injuries. Of course, we're going to probably have another tournament in 2 years that will be similar to the Olympics, and they're probably going to go for that. So there's not a whole lot of reason to deal with that. I think that we should all sit back and just respect all those players that contributed to their country. And I don't think that either team could have played any harder. That game could have gone either way. I know the U.S. has the bragging rights now. They won the game. That's why you play the game. Team that gets the most goals wins, gets the bragging rights. But Canada has no reason to be ashamed. And it's really unfortunate that the second guessing that goes on with these players, you know, I watched an interview one or two nights ago, somebody asking McDavid about not being able to win the big game. This is one of the greatest hockey players of all time. And in every big game that he's played in, he's played well in. One player can't win a championship. Of course, the star player is going to have a bigger impact in a game, but one, you can't put it on one player. And I just think it's unfortunate for the McDavids and the all these other players that get second guessed after the game and the tournament that they put in and the commitment they put in.
And Connor did score the big goal in the Four Nations faceoff, right? He did come up big there.
Of course, he comes up in every game, big in every game. Okay, but of course he's the biggest name, and that becomes the biggest story. But it's a little bit unfair to these guys.
You do know the pressure of living and working in Canada now, Jim. You have lived and worked it for the last 3 or 4 years. You know what it's like now.
there's nothing wrong with the pressure. There's nothing wrong with this. I think it's great. The passion that we have in Vancouver, and the knowledge that the Vancouver fans have of the game. I think it's great, and it goes all across Canada. Okay, but at some point, you get to the point of what I just talked about with McDavid, that it's just unfair to question some of these guys and some of those things. It's open game. Okay, this is why we have sport. So in NHL games, second guessing all the time is part of our sport. It's part of the talk shows, part of the media stories. I get that. I have no problem with that. But when you get to those ultimate games, like the gold medal game, and if Canada or the U.S. had played a bad game, that's a whole other story. But both those teams played phenomenal games, and those players played extremely well. And that's my point. When you have a game like that, I think it's unfair. Everything else is open game. I have no problem with that. That's part of sports. That's the fun part of sports.
By the way, you talked about the smaller nations contributing. One of the big winners in my mind was your defenseman. Filip Hronek was spectacular for Czechia. Spectacular. He and Radko Gudas go to a different level when they play for their country.
Well, he was. It's not just for his country. He's been our best player this year. He's a number one defenseman. He's a heart and soul guy. And as you know, in as bad a year as the Canucks have had, you know, Philip Peronic has been extremely good. He's been terrific this year.
Is he on that small list, short list of players you wouldn't trade? Yeah.
100%.
Hockey.
and is he on the is he the next captain?
Well, we haven't got to that point yet. That'll be a discussion in the summer, but in my opinion, he would be on that very short list for sure. He has all the qualities to be a very good captain. He's a what you see on the ice is what you see off the ice. He's a leader.
We like to put titles on things. How do you characterize what your organization is going through right now in this transition?
Oh boy. Well, I would just give you some great headlines if I give you what I'm really thinking. So look,
is it a teardown? Is it a rebuild? Is it a retool?
Oh no. Oh, okay. That part. No, I've made that clear. As long as we had Miller and Hughes, this team could not go to a rebuild. Okay. When I first got here, things weren't going very well. Then we kind of got it going there and we won the division and went to the conference final, seventh game with Edmonton, and we were on the right track. And then once JT got moved, that we had to move him, and that we knew Quinn wasn't coming back, those were the two engines that drove the Canucks, that made the difference of winning and losing games, Miller and Hughes. And once those two guys were gone, then we had no choice. It was time to rebuild, go to a full rebuild. Now, when I say it's a full rebuild, we're still going to have veterans, whether it's we keep the guys we have or we move them out and bring different veterans in the offseason to mentor and have a blend of younger players. You can't have all real young players. But my short answer is, and I've said this since Quinn left, is we are in a rebuild.
How concerned are you about signing free agents?
Oh, we're not first on some players' lists. I think you're seeing a trend where the majority of players want to play in the U.S. But there are players who want to come to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And they like the organization. We treat players extremely well here. They like the passion of the market, and they like the city. So we will have a chance to get free agents. It may not be the top guy that everybody will want us to get, that we would probably try to get. But what we need to do now is get as many young players in here and get established that this is a young group that's going to grow together and want to be here for a long time. That's our priority right now.
You said people want to play in the United States. Do you think, therefore, you need more Canadians to play on your roster?
The players that like to play in Vancouver are players, I wouldn't say all Canadian players. I would say more players from Western Canada or from British Columbia have expressed interest in being here. And the European players like Vancouver. And mm-hmm. I think Vancouver reminds them a little bit of home, some of the European cities. And so we have a chance at them also.
I was going to say that Daniel and Henrik have a lot to say about that. They're the ones that have really made it an attractive city for European players, don't you think?
Most definitely. And they spread that word, and they support it by staying here. You know, they haven't moved back to Sweden. They go back to Sweden a little bit in the summer and visit their families, but they love Vancouver. They have a big part in the roles they play here in our organization. They're great with the young players, developing them, mentoring them, and they're very important to us.
You've never built a team with a specific demographic or nationality before, have you? Like you're talking about with a Western Hockey League base or European base?
Oh, my God. I don't care where the player comes from. Okay.
No, but you're talking about how Western League players would be more akin to playing in Vancouver, that kind of thing.
We would love to have more Canadian players. I'll make that very clear. But if there's a player from whatever country in the world can come in and contribute to the Vancouver Canucks, we're going after that player. But at this point in time, when I look at our team, I'd like to see us have more Canadian players on it.
Hey, when we did the old radio show with Bob McCowan, I remember having you on. You were still in Pittsburgh, you were gunning for your second Stanley Cup, and you were unabashedly saying, "We're going for it. We're going to mortgage the future to it, because as long as we have Gino and Sid," your words, not mine, because Darren's going to accuse me using nicknames. As long as we have Gino and Sid, we're going to go for it. Is this what you're going through now in Vancouver, the antithesis of that, and that you still have to go for it, but just in a different way?
Well, no, it's totally different. I mean, we were trying to win another Stanley Cup. We haven't won a Stanley Cup in Vancouver. Now we're building from the ground up and trying to add as many good players with really strong character that we know are going to love being in Vancouver and want to be here long term. And so we have to work on that over the next couple of years. We're a ways away from that. We have a head start. When I announced that we were going to a rebuild, it wasn't like we were starting from that day. We have a lot of good young players already. So I would say we're well into that rebuild, even though I just said it a couple of months ago. And so we got two first round picks this year. Actually three for all intents and purposes, because we're going to get the 32nd pick. Because Ottawa doesn't get their pick in the first round, but we have two second round picks. So our staff has to do a very good job in this draft. And if we do, we can move along on this fairly quickly.
I know your group has been out looking at the top candidates to go in the top five or first overall. If you get it, I'm not asking for a name, but if you get first overall, do you have a player that you like more than the others?
Well, at this point I do, but we haven't had our final meeting. There will be a lot of debate as to who that player is. You know, I mean, we are definitely going to finish dead last, but that doesn't mean we're picking first. The odds, the way the lottery's set up, the odds are actually most favorable for us to pick third instead of first or second. Now, we'll see how that all plays out. But we're very confident with that first pick we're getting in the first round that we're getting one of the players that we really like that will make a difference in this franchise over the years.
How would you measure Adam Foote's growth as a head coach?
Well, it's actually really hard with the situation that he has found himself in this year. You know, it's the injuries, the not getting the second line center as quick as we should have. And then when we did, he got hurt. And then, you know, transitioning into as many young players as we have. I think most games we have seven first-year NHL players in the lineup. And that's certainly asking a lot of the players and the coaches. But that's part of the development that we think is best for our future. So I know he works hard. I know he prepares the players. He runs good practices. It's hard to look at the results and give him a fair grade.
There's two other guys I need to address, because if they had bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. And that's Philip Hedel and Thatcher Demko. How do you How do you look at them and say where they fit into the future of the hockey club?
Well, I have a lot of confidence in where Demko is because I think they found the root of the problem now with the hip. And all the reports I get from all the medical people and whatnot, they feel getting this hip back to 100% for training camp will help relieve some of the other issues. I am concerned about Hedl. I feel very bad. He's trying hard to get back to play. But when you're dealing with those head injuries, that's a very serious thing. And that's something he has to decide as to where his future is. But even coming back here just recently, the last few weeks, and excited about getting back playing and then getting a freak accident in practice. I mean, that was one in a million that could happen. But this is a guy that's just had a lot of bad luck, and I am concerned about his injury.
Do you expect him to come back before the end of the regular season?
I don't know. I would almost rather he didn't. I know he's out for 4 weeks. We're getting close to the end of the season. And I think it's almost better that he just tries to get 100% and take a look at where his future is going forward for next year.
Are you able to be specific on what Thatcher's hip issue is that you've zeroed in on?
I'm not, because I don't know enough about it medically. I know he had hip surgery, and for me to try to break that down, that would not be good.
Jimmy, you were a goalie. You had the same hips. Come on now. You were, when you played, you know, you were as flexible as Thatcher, weren't you?
I don't know about that, but we played the position different then.
Yeah. Okay?
Quite a bit different. And this new position where the way they play now, where they're banging up against the post and their lateral movements every day in practice and in games, and they're swiveling all the time. And I don't know, this is the new game, and I'm not going to question it, but if they adjusted their game halfway between where it was played a few decades ago and where they play it now, I think that there would probably be less injuries.
You are going to finish either last or near the bottom. So that is on the horizon. But have you passed the low point, Jimmy? Like getting through the drama of JT and then having to trade Quinn. Is that part of it over and now you're on the upswing? Can I characterize it as that?
Well, we're past it, of course. We have no other choice. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. What are we going to do about tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Are we on the upswing? I don't know if upswing would be the right word. I think we're on the right track to do what we need to do to get this team in a position in the next few years to start to be very competitive and start to get in a position to contend, because I like our young players. And I like their attitudes. I like their work ethic. I like where they're at in their game. Just look at our defense. When you got the three guys under 21 years old playing regular on your defense, that's pretty damn good. And these guys are getting better all the time. Are they making mistakes? Yeah, but so do veteran guys. But they're learning from them. And love their attitudes. We got Coots coming here, the center iceman that's going to help us at center. We've got other guys in the organization developing quite nicely. So I like where we're at. How soon is that upswing? I don't know. I'd like to think it's the start of next year where we can flush everything out. The things are behind us, the Miller, the Hughes trade. We know where that sits now. The young guys know they're going to be on the team as long as they're progressing. And we'll just continue to add to that. I do believe that we will be more competitive next year.
It is amazing. No, go ahead, Darren. Go.
Do you guys talk timeline within your group about when you are competitive again or how long out that is?
Yeah, we do. But I think we all live in a fantasy world when you start trying to project that, because, you know, we're projecting people's performance. It's not like we're projecting a product that you make, okay? And when you're projecting players' performances, some will advance quicker than we expect. Some will stand still and not progress at all for a couple of years. So that's very hard. I mean, I would like to think within the next two or three years, the team's in a real strong position again. I can't say for sure that's going to happen. I do believe right now we're just getting reps and players are playing and playing as hard as they can. Of course, they're trying to win game. It's not the most important thing to us right now, you know, because we know we're going to finish last. But it is important to prepare for the start of next season and put guys in a position where they can succeed and this team can get back to competing. I don't know if we can advance enough that we can compete for a playoff spot, but that should be our goal coming out of training camp next September.
It is amazing to think that you have won twice as many games on the road that you have at home. And there's no such thing as home ice advantage for the Vancouver Canucks right now. Is it explainable?
There wasn't last year either. Well, I don't know. There's no good reason for it. Let me put it that way. Okay. Is it explainable? I don't have a good explanation, but there's no good reason for it. And it has to change and it will change going into next year.
How do you make it change?
Just by developing these players and getting the attitude in that direction. And, I think there's been so many things that have gone on here over the last couple of years that are kind of been sideshows that takes away that full concentration of a player coming to the rink. And maybe when we're on the road, the players don't think about it as much. I don't know. But the things that were open that nobody knew what was going to happen are not going to be there next year. It's all going to be very straightforward. So that's going to put players in a better position to focus on what they should be focusing on and not whatever the sideshow is or whether one of their buddies is staying or getting traded or all the things that we had to deal with.
Thanks for this, pal. I appreciate it. And don't feel the need to hold anything back for those trade deadline shows. I'm not part of those. John's not part of those anymore. So you can empty the tank ahead of time.
Sure. Give me a call later next week around next Saturday. How's that?
Perfect. Right on.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Good to be with you guys. Have a good day.
Back with John Shannon on 100% Hockey as we continue on this episode.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen. And he scores! Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
I do take notes myself during these conversations, and I filled up a page and a half with little tidbits from Jim Rutherford.
Yeah, I don't take notes, and I probably forget half of them. So,
but you know, one area that he started talking about, and I was referencing a different aspect, talking about how would you characterize what's going on, and I was thinking big picture, like rebuild, reload, and he was thinking right now in the present day, and when he said I can't use any words on this podcast, so it gives you an idea of where his current emotional state is.
Well, you talked at the beginning of the show about people who are competitive. And you said Joel Quinn, there's nobody more competitive than Joel Quenneville.
Well, he just likes winning.
Yeah. Well, Joel, I tell you what, Jim Rutherford's on that list too. Jim Rutherford loves to compete and loves to win. And I think we got a real sense of how disappointed he is. And, and the franchises for what's gone on in Vancouver, and given the opportunity to try to rebuild it now. And the question now in Vancouver truly is, will we? You know, there's a couple of questions. Will we recognize the roster after next Friday? I'm not sure. And how long will it take? And how patient can the fans be in Vancouver? How patient ownership will be? That'll be the fascination.
So San Jose, I was thinking it might take 7 years. It's sped up a little bit but Macklin Celebrini. Vancouver can't be 7 years. They can't afford that.
No. Can't. And I mean that, you know, and I say this with a great deal of respect. The Aquilinis are not patient like ownership in San Jose. Ownership in San Jose doesn't even live in North America, you know, and so there's a totally different animal. You know, ownership in Vancouver lives in the city, and they feel and understand the pressure all the time as well. And so And they put pressure on people to make sure that they try to win all the time, and so that's all part and parcel of what's going on in Vancouver. And it's, as Jim said, they do have a timeline, but they don't really know about timeline because it's how the players will end up playing, and the pressure now is on the personnel within the Canucks organization that are going to go to the draft floor and draft players and make this team better. That's the real challenge right now. So it will be a very critical, and rightly so, a critical fan base, that knows their team, knows the market, knows the hockey world. So you're not going to be able to slip anything by anybody in Vancouver. You're going to have to deliver, and you're going to have to deliver quickly. And that's really the biggest challenge for Rutherford and Alvin and that group.
And Connor Garland's a Vancouver Canuck after the trade deadline?
I would be surprised, simply because I do think, And Jim kind of alluded to this, and we didn't get into player by player. We could have, but it would have been the same answer every time. I think that if someone feels that Garland can help them get to the next level in the playoffs, and what's that worth, and what equity can they get back? Will there be a young player or a high pick that they can get back for Garland? You know, I think they're running through that gamut with every guy that's on the roster.
Patterson, Elias.
Again, Elias is not being shopped. Elias is not, because Elias is the defenseman. Elias is not being shopped. He's not. They're not out there saying we got to get rid of Elias Patterson. But what Jim did say is if somebody came in and knocked our socks off, we'd have to listen. So, and you know, you can define what knock your socks off means.
Elias.
Well,
I don't know.
And Marcus. Marcus.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, I can figure out. I can keep track of that. It's the good. Other two.
That's good.
That's honestly. And Shorty, good on you, buddy.
By the way, there was a story out there earlier today that Hockey Canada did not allow Wayne Gretzky to talk to the team before the gold medal game, as he did before the championship game of Four Nations. That's just not true. It's an absolute lie. That did not happen. That is, to me, that's...
Are you calling it a fabrication?
An irresponsible fabrication. You know, there are enough things going on, enough things fuming over the last 4 days, 5 days, that we don't need made up stuff as part of this issue. So I just wanted to say that. I'm done now.
I've been blown away by the rhetoric since the golden goal ended the Olympic men's hockey tournament to now. It started off with, that was disappointing. Canadians were sad. To slowly and gaining momentum, getting deeper into the blame game and finding a reason why the team lost or pulling on strings of negativity. And Jimmy mentioned the conversation or interview question that was posed towards Connor McDavid, which added to it.
I don't think
the media needs a pound of flesh or something from what was just a really good hockey game.
I don't think it's just the media, Darren. I think it's anti-social media. Everywhere on anti-social media, because it's anti-social right now. Canada lost the game. The Americans won. The Americans have a right to party. God bless them. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Because from trying too hard to end it quickly to not trying hard enough on a back check to not winning when you should be winning, it's gained this momentum of what are we doing?
I think that that's a small group of people that are gaining some level of notoriety. I don't think most of the country feels that way. I think we're sad as Canadians.
Well, I saw in the Toronto newspaper they were trying to blame
somebody. One article.
In a Sportsnet question from one of their reporters, it was trying to find a reason why Connor McDavid hasn't won.
One article, one question. I think the rest of us are saying, let's move on and play the games and let's get back to the National Hockey League. Don't give the loud minority credence and a voice. Don't. Enjoy the Olympics for what they were. Congratulate the Americans. And let's move on.
Would you be up for a best of five between Canada and the United States? Like, we can't do a summit series. But a best of five, like the rivalry series that the women do every year,
yeah,
which is fantastic. Would you be up for something like that between Canada and the United States?
No, because I still believe in the National Hockey League and the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay,
I mean, I still believe in what the playoffs stand for. I think that. You know, Darren, if all plans work out, we're going to have this every 2 years. World Cup, Olympics. That's enough. Set the stage. You know, too much of a good thing, you ruin it. You know, it's like, I'm going to get in trouble for this. It's like the outdoor games. You know, when we did one outdoor game a year, it was special. When we did two outdoor games, we could buy it because one was in Canada, one was in the United States. One year we did six, mm-hmm. And it was too much. You can have too much of a good thing. You know, I like Canada playing. Yeah, I like Canada playing the United States, but let's wait and build the drama for the World Cup in 2 years.
All right. Next time you ask me, hey, we're gonna do a bonus episode, I'm going to remind you of that.
You always do. You just don't like working too hard. I know you.
My problem is I have 17 jobs. I love doing this with you.
By the way, don't we all?
Yeah. I love doing this with you. It's just
I will phone you when I finish my job tomorrow night on CGOB at 1:30 Eastern time.
I'll be awake.
Yeah, you will. I will phone you when it starts, too.
Say hi to Kelly Moore for me. Enjoy it. And we hope everybody enjoyed the news that came out of this conversation that we had today with Jim Rutherford. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. I got to get back to my other job. Bye.